Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. PropSwap. It's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. So head over to PropSwap.com and download the PropSwap app today. And we're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. So go download the app today at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And SoBet is where you can go sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, to the newly formatted show. It's your boy, Boston Gaffer, with the Father Golf himself, Steve Shermer, and we're going to go ahead and break down DFS and the outrights tonight. So we were both right last night, Steve. We were both right.
Okay, yeah. No, I was trying to lead you in that direction, but you kept cutting me off. I'm like, all right, well, let's just sell this offline. But no, so... where it's a new format, as you mentioned, we're into DFS ownership, and then we are going to get our outright bets to you tonight.
Yeah, let's go.
So you can bet this stuff before the market moves. You know, we'll see what happens, and then tomorrow we'll do, you know, some other bets. You know, prop bets, matchups, all that stuff. We'll,
yeah,
you know, maybe
if we add anything to the card, yeah.
Right. So as far as this tournament, though, I guess we'll recap. You know, a little bit what we talked about last night. So what are the things you looked at, you know, in order to, you know, pick apart the DFS card or, you know, choose outright, you know, what stats or like trends or stuff that are you relying on?
So I really dig that the winners played last week trend. You know me, I'm a sucker for a trend, and I think Smith might have been the one off. So it's going to be heavy those guys, and then I want guys like you said with that bigger range of irons. I sent you that text that somebody tweeted like, hey, this guy puts the best, like, whatever, right? It was a cool tweet. Like, hey, this guy puts a great screen cap in there, and he's like, it's the most useful thing on the internet. And I was like, it really is, you know. So I take a look at those different metrics as far as, you know, 125 to 200, where they hit at, and yeah, man, I mean, that's about it. I mean, it's pretty much everything we talked about last night, but I really do like that trend, especially for the betting card.
Okay. Yeah. Whoever that guy was on Twitter, that was very flattering. And of course, I can't see it, but I will have my co-host send me anything complimentary or negative.
Or negative.
Yes, as I've gotten a couple of those too. From you. I mean, like, just to kind of recap what I talked about last night, you know, mid irons are definitely really important here. If there's any sort of skill set that kind of, you know, ties together with everybody, you know, it seems like driving accuracy, you know, guys, you know, who would tend to be a little more accurate, do a little better here. This is definitely not a prerequisite of this golf course. Even you don't even have to be that great of a putter. You can still do okay here. So, you know, some of the stuff like that, you know, as far as some other stats I use proximity from 125 to 200. Basically, I just looked at the PGA Tour, took all those proximity stats for the last 2 years and made just a composite average between 125 and 200. I also looked at, you know, performance putting on Bermuda, birdie or better percentage, because as we'll get to a little bit with the weather report, I think these guys are going to light it up. And then not only did I take course history from YLI, I always like doing like a correlated like a composite index of like golf courses I think are similar. So these are the ones I use. You know, and a lot of them are mentioned last, like Colonial, Detroit Golf Club, Mayakoba, Harbortown, Sea Island, Sedgefield, and then the old white TPC, that's the Greenbrier. You know, there's a lot of cross over between guys have done well at the Sony and guys have done well there. I think those are pretty good comps. What that tells me is, you know, let's say you only have one tournament here and it didn't go very well, but if you generally do pretty well at those types of places, I can probably expect you to do pretty well here because there's a lot of similar qualities to those places here. So, and then the last thing, just I'm keeping it kind of simple on the card. I mean, most of these guys we have not seen since the RSM. A lot has changed, or a lot could have changed. So, yeah, I'm just going to keep it simple. Like, if I know you're pretty good here, good at those Coral Lake golf courses, you're generally good in Bermuda tracks. You know, you generally have that profile of the type that would fit here. Even if you weren't playing all that great in the fall, I'm going to go to you. So that's really what I'm doing. So so why don't I give a little quick weather report, too, as I alluded to it. I mean, there's not really much to talk about. It's pretty much similar to last week, where temperatures in the mid-70s all week. Wind between like 3 and 8 miles per hour pretty much every day. So these guys are gonna light this place up. Yeah, it's nothing. These, you know, especially if the greens are still soft from all the rain they've had, these guys are gonna light it up. I think 23, 24, 25 under is probably gonna win this thing, which I think you probably have to factor in when you're betting certain guys to win it if they can get to that level.
Yeah. No, that's fine. So you don't think it's going to play like as firm and fast as it typically does? You think it's going to be even softer?
I think maybe the fairways will run a little quicker, but I don't know. I mean, like even last week, like it didn't rain, but there were still mud balls. It's, yeah. You know, the balls weren't running quite as far. Like, I think these guys are going to
destroy
pretty well here, especially without any wind.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, so you want to get to the we'll go to the DFS ownership report. Now, keep in mind, guys, this is Monday night, 8 o'clock. So these things can change. Anything that really changes shifts overnight, we get more withdrawals or some ownership shifts. We'll address it on tomorrow night's show, but we'll just give you what the initial chalk is. So for the 10K range, as usual, it's going to be who you thought it was going to be. It's going to be Webb, M, and Leishman. Obviously, Bryson withdrew. Cam Smith is people are going to pull back a little bit. Obviously, the back-to-back winner thing is hard, and then the Hawaiian Slam. Only what, two or three other players have ever done it.
Yep. I think that's the case.
Yeah, and people are fading Hideki in this range anyway.
Yeah, I think people are probably going to expect this thing to be low scoring, and I mean Hideki he's probably not going to get there.
He's so bad on Bermuda, and I know last week was technically Bermuda, but like this is, I feel like this is more true Bermuda, right?
I mean, they're both true Bermuda. I think just we'll get to him in a little bit, but okay. He doesn't have the best track record here. Let's put it that way.
No, he does not. And then the chalk of the 9K range, Corey Connors and Taylor Gooch. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that jump out, which understandable. Connors, world-class iron player, insane, like good history here. Gooch, obviously playing well.
And he's played well at some of their places I mentioned, like Mayakoba, we played pretty well. RSM, yep. We played pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, that probably can translate to here, too.
Yep. And then 8K range. Really, there's only one, I guess, two chalky guys. You got my boy Sheamus. Oh, three, I guess. No, two. So Sheamus and Henley are the two chalks at about 18% off the initial ownership.
Yeah, with a little bit on Matt McNeely, too. He had a really nice fall. He tends to do a little better on these shorter tracks. So.
I've seen his name bumping around Twitter today.
Yeah, we'll talk about him. Yep. I got a couple little nuggets on him that maybe we can talk about later.
Okay. And then in the 7K range, a name I've seen all over Twitter, played last week, Joel Damon or Damon. I really don't know how to say his name.
Did he even do anything last week?
No.
I don't remember him doing anything of note.
No, he didn't. He was fine. His caddy was funny. I like his caddy, man. His caddy's okay. His caddy's a really funny follow on Twitter.
Yeah, he finished T28.
Yeah, that's
the guy's just going, man.
So what they're looking at is what? Nah, played like shit and still won.
Yeah, but that's Kuchar, Kevin
played like shit and still won.
Okay, but that's Kevin Na and Matt Kuchar.
Hey, don't shoot me, Bubba. I'm just telling you, I'm telling you how people are doing it, right? Because I do the same thing with people. If you want to play a guy, you're going to twist yourself into a reason why. And listen, Diamond Damon plays well on, you know, coastal courses, you know,
Bermuda
tracks. So I mean, I think it's fine. Like whatever, he's jockey.
I look at my dashboard here. I think it's still like he's an accurate player. His ball striking stats are really good. I think that's just what's driving it. It's a pure fantasy national. This guy pops in the stats. I'm going to him.
And he's popular in the social media golf Twitter sphere too.
All right, that's fair.
And then you got Denny McCarthy over 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, I guess that's it. I mean, those are the only ones over 10%.
Got a lot of guys making Stu Sink lineups. Got a lot of guys making Alex Smalley lineups.
K.H. Lee.
Oh, God.
If it's not Pete Dye, no thank you for me with Cage Lee.
Tom Weisskopf, because that's true. Craig Ranch.
That's true. Craig Ranch. I actually kind of like that course, right? Didn't I like that course?
No, you didn't.
No? Which one am I? Wait, that was the new course, right?
For the Byron Nelson?
Yeah.
No.
I don't remember.
I don't think you liked it, but whatever. Let's just move on.
Moving on. All right, and then we got in the 6K range, a huge fucking range this week, by the way, absolutely gigantic.
Yep.
So I'll just go with anything over 5% as chalk in the 6K range. So we got Max McGreevy for whatever reason.
He's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. Mm-hmm. I know he's a pretty good iron player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far at least.
Yeah, exactly. Your boy Swafford. At 8.5.
Why is he my boy?
I don't know. You mentioned him one time.
I think because he was playing well in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Like,
that's
probably
right. Yeah. That's right. You got my listen. Anytime you're going to reference some scrub golfer, he is now your guy. I mean, you should know this by now. Okay. Same reason I yelled at you for me betting Chris Kirk like a year ago.
Okay.
And then we got Mack Hubbard. Wow, that's a really bad name for my accent. That is terrible. I even heard it. That was terrible. A little over 8%. And then we got nothing below that. So there's really only three chalky players. It's funny. I thought some of the other guys might have been a little chalkier down here. But like I said, it's Monday night. So once people start digging in, listening to stuff like this,
it seems like big stars and scrubs week. I mean, a lot of ownership at the top there. Yeah. And then just you're going down to the sevens and then like picking off a couple guys in sixes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Makes sense.
All right. All right, so why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll start breaking down these ranges.
All right, man. Listen, if you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas online sports betting and casino play right to you. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. So get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. You bet $5 to win $400 in free bets. And they're still running the bet $20 on WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet feature. And you can earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime trip for the big game. You and three of your friends will get a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse. Two nights at the Wynn Las Vegas, which I've stayed at. It's very nice. And a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook. And a 5K travel credit. Flying first class, baby. So great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. So if you're ready to play, go sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com today.
All right, start breaking down the ranges. We'll start with the $10,000 range. We got Cameron Smith at the top, 11,200. Got Hideki, 10,006. Webb Simpson, 10,500. Sung Jae, 10,300. And Mark Leishman, $10,000. So, I mean, look, like, I mean, I think the three best players I look at from a profile standpoint are the most popular ones. So I'm just going to take the least popular one of those is Sung Jae. I just love him on Bermuda golf courses. He played pretty good last week. You know, he's got a lot of things you look for. Putts well in Bermuda, pretty accurate, very, you know, decent history here, decent history on a lot of the golf courses I mentioned, good history on Bermuda overall. He's usually in the mix a lot. Over the last 2 years, he's been within five of the lead 10 times. I always like using that stat in order to try to like figure out guys who are going to be in the mix and maybe bet for outrights. But yeah, I'm not going to really overthink this one. I'm going to go Sung Jae. And then my fade is, I know he's not all that popular, but it's going to be Hideki. I just see this tournament being, you know, a winning score 24, 25 under. And we kind of saw it last week. Like, yeah, he played fine, but he just was outgunned because he can't hit enough putts. And it seems like at the Sony, it's the same thing. It seems like his ceiling constantly is about like T19, T20.
Yep.
So, and I don't like when I look at this golf course or like any golf course where it's relatively easy scoring conditions, like pretty easy tee to green, like all these guys are really good. We can say a guy's a bad ball striker, but at the end of the day, they're all really good.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
When you put them on like a relatively not all that challenging TD Green golf course, it shrinks the like advantage Hideki has because he can take that really good ball strike and take it anywhere. A lot of these guys can't. So, right. Yeah, it's going to come down to a putting contest. I just don't trust him, so he's my fade.
Yeah, I mean, listen, so I'll expand on just a little bit on him because he was my guy as well. And if you look at what he did last week, he was net neutral on approach. Net neutral. And he still came in eighth, right? Mm-hmm. So Yeah. I mean, yeah, give me that. I love him on Bermuda. And I think it was, I think the reason I said true Bermuda is I heard Andy say those greens were a little more like almost past pollen, the way how sticky they were. And this will be a little more Bermuda, and that's his best putting surface. So give me Sanjay. Webb was my other guy, just in case you played him. The tournament history here, 2 top 15s is the last 2 times he's been out. I mean, this is one of those ones where don't be contrarian, just be contrarian. Webb's going to play good here. Like, whatever. Like, that's it. And my fade's Decky as well, for all the reasons you made. So that was a really easy range.
Yeah, I think I want to make a couple of comments. Like what you just mentioned with Webb, I think we tried being contrarian at the Wyndham last year.
I did. That was really dumb.
That blew up in our faces pretty bad. Yeah. You know, trying to be cool over here. And second of all, like be careful relying on stats from last week. We kind of mentioned it where, like, yeah, like Sungjae was quote unquote net neutral, but he still hit his irons pretty well, but it's not going to look very good in the stats because
everybody else
got to hit your irons pretty well in order to get to what, 22, 23 20, under?
23 under, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to hit your irons pretty good. So don't take a whole lot from last week. Like, you know, if you see like, oh, he lost like a stroke, you know, with his approach shots. Well, he still probably hit it pretty good.
Right.
So, yeah, don't get too caught up in it. Just look at the guy's overall profile and just, you know, maybe throw last week out. Like, for God's sake, 34 under one. Like,
that's very true.
Throw it out a little bit. And Kapalu is 9 day to this place. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't bother too much of it. All right, I think we just put this range to bed. Why don't we move on?
All right, let's go. All right, so the 9K range, you got Na, Ansa, Corey, Harris English. I feel like he's mispriced. Taylor Gooch at 9,100. So rather small range. sorry, guys. My guy's Corey Connors, man. I mentioned it last night. I really like him. His course history here is really well. He didn't play last week, which sucks because that's a narrative that I really like. But he world-class iron player. His history putting here is insane. I don't remember where I heard it or if I read it. He gains over 2 strokes putting every time he plays here. Corey Connors. Like, that's fucking nuts. He is clearly comfortable with these greens. He can stick it. He can stick it on the very small greens. Yeah, man. Like, I love Corey Connors this week. I know he's chalky, but I love him a lot. I also like Ansa, but I figured you'd talk about him. So my fade is Kevin Na. At the top of this price range, I don't care. I don't like him. I don't want to play him. Like, I don't want to play him when he costs as much, when I can go down $200 or $300 to play somebody who I think can actually win the tournament and answer a Connors.
Okay. All right. I mean, I can't really say a whole lot of negative about Corey Connors. I mean, I think he's basically the same boat as Hideki, but you're getting him $1,000 cheaper.
Right.
So if they're basically the same player and Corey Connors has a better history here than Hideki, I think that's what I would do. You know,
yeah. I mean, Connors, what, T3, T12, last 2 times here. Right. Yeah, man, I'll take it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the guy I'm going to talk about is Ansa. Like, again, I'm kind of just throwing out last week. I think that just was just an exhibition where everybody was going low. And if you just look at the strokes gain stats, I don't think it really tells a whole story. You know, he missed the cut here on the number last year. He hit the ball really well, but didn't putt very good. His other 2 finishes aren't all that great either. But I mean, Kevin Na didn't really have too many good finishes, and then he ended up winning this place just because it just kind of fit him. I mean, he's been catching fire with a putter. I mean, Ansa kind of fits a lot of things I'm looking for. He's really accurate, pretty decent with his iron, especially with his mid irons. I think I like a little bit of a bounce back from him. And then I'm going to fade Kevin Na too. We're in agreement on this one. Okay. I just think that, like, he's sandwiched between Mark Leishman, who's a player I like, and Abraham Hanser I like. I think I would take Connors over him. I would take Gooch over him. I think I would take Kisner over him. Like, I think I would take Henley probably over Kevin Na. I think he's just mispriced. So,
yeah, me too.
So that's my fade in this range.
Okay. I like it. I love that fact that we are fading both of the same guys. I'm sure that's going to work out. Fucking yeah. Swimming.
Bet him outright.
All right.
Why don't we take a break and then we'll continue breaking everything down.
All right. So listen, I got to talk to you guys about PropSwap. It's where America buys and sells sports bets. The NFL playoffs are finally here. Steve, did you know there's such a thing called the NFL playoffs?
I don't know. What's that like?
I don't know. I'm going to get bounced the first round this year, so I'm not too worried about it. Oh,
stop trying to reverse mush.
I'm not trying to reverse mush. Unless it's last game, then whatever. Anyway, moving on.
Do you know what the weather's going to be up here on Saturday night?
I mean, it's Buffalo, so probably miserable.
It's going to be like 12 degrees, real field, like 3.
Ooh, okay.
No wind, though, but hey, it's going to be cold.
like it. Josh Allen's eyes are so close together, they might, like, I don't know, freeze up. I'm not quite sure. All right. Well, listen. Anyway, back to prop swap. Prop swappers are finally cashing in. So, like Steve, not this Steve, from Tennessee, who last week sold his $250, 100-to-1 Patriots Super Bowl ticket for $2,500 on prop swap. Steve locked in his profit when he turned his $250 bet into $2,500. The buyer got great odds. Uh-huh. And the seller made 10 times his bet. Good job, Steve from Tennessee, because that was a losing ticket. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bet. So go hurry up and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtered listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity fee to stay in the know with all the big sales, and the red hot tickets are for sale. So there's a loyalty rewards program that you can turn your ticket sales into extra bonus cash and a first deposit cash match. And when you use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. So go take some of that Cam Smith money you should have followed us on and go deposit some at PropSwap. So join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right, let's continue the ranges. So we got $8,000 range. We got Kevin Kisner, $8,900. Horschel, $8,700. Jason Kokra, $8,600. Russell Henley, $8,500. Matt Jones, coming off that big performance at Capital, $8,400. Matt McNeely, $8,300. Eric Van Rooyen, $82. Seamus Power, $81. Charles Howell, third, $8,000. And Cam Davis, $8,000. So I kind of did a similar spiel about Abraham Hanser. I'm going to make the same spiel about Billy Horschel and kind of throw him last week out. I mean, he played okay. Like, he had a good Friday and Sunday, not a very good Thursday, Saturday. But, I mean, he, you know, tends to play these types of courses pretty well. Like, his course history just on paper doesn't look great, but he finished, I think, T7 last year. So I know he can actually post a good finish. Good putter in Bermuda, pretty accurate. Like, again, like, you get him on some of these shorter tracks, you like him there. He has a couple good, like, finishes in some of the other golf courses I looked at this week. So, yeah, I like him. And then I'm not going to overcomplicate it. Charles Howell III, like, whatever form he's in, he's just good here. I think he's got, like, four or five straight top 20s. I'm just going to trust it. And I know his ceiling isn't very big, but for $8,000, I think I can plug him in and probably bank on a top 25 finish. I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
All right. And then my fade is Matt McNeely, actually.
Okay.
And yeah, I want to use him, but, you know, and I know he's really good in short golf courses, but on Bermuda, he just isn't all that great. It seems like the shorter golf courses are either POA or Bent or overseeded. Like, I think a lot of people, they immediately put him to Harbortown, but Harbortown's usually overseeded. It's not Bermuda. So I don't think I'm really feeling him this week. And I think this is his first time playing this golf course, too. I mean, I don't think that really matters all that much. But given his ownership, I think I'm going to fade him.
Okay, I like it. All right, so I'm going with Kiz. It was literally my first thought. Last night when we did the show, I didn't know what the number was going to be at. I wasn't even sure if he was going to be in the field. But if he was, I was going to play him. And he's in the field. He's not catching any steam. He's not chalky. He gained over 5 strokes putting last week. And when that putter gets hot, that putter can get hot. This is a perfect track for him. He plays all the comp courses very well. He's got a decent course history here. It's nothing crazy, but it's pretty good. You know, he's had 2 top fives the last 5 times he's played, made all 5 cuts. Give me some Kisner coming in hot. Like, listen, sometimes when my gut is this excited about somebody, it goes horrifically wrong. But I'm pretty fucking excited about Kisner this week. And that's not typically a guy that I'm on a lot. So Steve, I wasn't initially going to take this dude because I felt like it was chasing based on what he did last week. But I'm a Mac Jones guy. And when I looked at his course history here, it's pretty good. It's not bad.
It's okay.
Yeah. T11. Never missed a cut. He looked fucking incredible on Sunday.
I think you're buying at the peak.
Think I'm buying at the peak?
Yeah.
Good. So I had him written down, and I got my boy Seamus Power. Okay.
Why don't you go to your binky?
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to play a little Matt Jones too, though. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I got a sneaky feeling about him too. But I'm aware of the fact that it could be chasing steam based off last week, but I like his course history here. But anyway, yeah. So Seamus Power does not have a good course history here at all. I think he missed the last
week. No, he doesn't.
But whatever, dude, it's not the same Seamus Power. This guy over the last year has been a completely different golfer than he was prior to that. He looked pretty good over the weekend. Nothing crazy, nothing good, nothing too bad. I think he started out really hot and then kind of faded a little bit, lost some strokes putting. But, you know, look, Tee to Green, he did all right. Came in 15th in a stacked fucking field. This field is nowhere near as stacked as what he just did. Yeah, man, give me some Seamus Power. That's who I'm taking. If it's not Matt Jones, I'll probably split it up a little between the two, just for FOMO. I don't want to completely disregard my gut on him. And I'm gonna fade Henley just based on steam and chalk. I mean, look, it's chalky as shit. I don't think he can actually win the tournament, so I'm not gonna take him. That's it. I mean, it's just that simple for me. I mean, at 20%, I can pivot to guys who I think are just as good or better, and I can avoid some of the ownership.
Okay, I understand pivoting away from Henley and DFS. Yeah. I think you can make a different case based on what his number is on the outright, but
that's a different story.
We can talk about that later.
Yep, but, agreed.
Okay, all right. We move down to the 7,000-hour range. Why don't you give me like 3, 4, or 5 guys that you like down here?
All right. Well, since my boy withdrew, I can't use the ear. Come on, man. Let's go. What are you doing? You're in Hawaii. Just go play, bro. I don't know. Whatever. Either way. So I like a couple guys, man. So kind of like you with Chucky Three Sticks, Brendan Steele for me. Like, I'm just going to trust the course history. And he's 7,900. He's sub 10% owned. He plays really well here. And he played okay at the RSM, whatever, made the cut. Didn't play well at the Mayakoba. I think he finished top 5 at the Zozo. And he just likes to play here, man. So I like him at sub 10%. And then I also like, give me Keith Mitchell. I know it's kind of a shorter curse for him, but I love playing him on Bermuda. And maybe he can take out some of the dog legs. He's pretty long off the tee. But I like Killer Keith on these type of courses, 7,600. Same thing, sub 10%. I want to avoid any chalk down here if I possibly can. And then back to the course history thing, I'm going to go Kizire. Plays well here, 7,300. Recent form is not good, but I'm just going to go ahead and trust that he feels comfortable here, and I'm going to take him at sub 10% ownership.
Okay, I don't hate that. I mean, so I think I'm going to start with the top here of the 7,000-hour range. So we've only seen, I think, like one tournament out of Christian Bezaden who lately where he's actually had like strokes gained. But I mean, if you haven't really been looking at what else he's been doing, he's got a 6th in the South African Open. He had a 5th at the BMW European Championship, 3rd at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, which is essentially like the Barbasol based on like some of the guys are in that field.
Is that what Power won?
No. Yeah, that's the one that Power won. But like you get the guys who just missed the 125 there who end up going to play that. So he beat some good guys in that field. He had a T15 in Mayakoba. So, I mean, the problem is you just haven't seen like anything recently as far as stats. I'm going to trust him. I think he's a good player. He crushes on Bermuda, and I can see him pulling a Kevin Na, just going lights out, you know, just for 4 days and, you know, getting a win. So, you know, I like him. I also like Keith Mitchell too. You know, he's got really good course history here. I'm just going to trust it. And like, he's like, so remember for a while we were saying how bad Keith Mitchell's putting was?
Mm-hmm.
So now he's actually in the positive for his last 50 rounds. But it's not like consistently like good. It's like massive week, like crater week.
Right.
So, but what's appealing to me for him is that like I see all these massive weeks.
Right.
And I know
what you're betting on.
Well, and I know he hits the ball really well here. So if he can pair that with a massive spike on the greens, oh baby, like we can get really good things from Keith Mitchell this week.
Yeah,
so I like him a lot. Tom Hoagie I like too. He's got decent course history here. I think he missed the cut in the number last year, but he's got a 3rd here, he's got a 12th here. He played pretty well in the fall too, and you know that's somebody who sneakily was in the mix a lot last year as far as like, you know, heading to the final round. So
Hoagie?
Yeah, over the last 2 years, he's been within 5 of the lead 7 times. It's actually one of the higher clips in this field. So, yeah, I don't mind him. I mean, he's pretty accurate. He was hitting his irons really good last fall. Maybe he can pick that up again. You know, we'll see. You know, if you want to talk about a guy who's really good at this place and correlated places that I looked at, Emiliano Grillo, again, another guy that always seems to be in the mix too. On a lot of these, like, dog tracks too. Yeah. So, but he's always around. I'm just going to rely on the course history. He's decent here. Great ball striker. Hits his mid irons really well. And I'm going to go with him. And then, you know, there's only 3 guys who are Korn Ferry graduates. They're all the way at the bottom. I think I like Alex Smalley the best. I think he's a more talented one. He's had a couple top 20s last fall. He was really good on the pure Bermuda golf course too, like at Houston and the Bermuda Championship. Those were where his top 20s were. He did pretty well there. He putts pretty well in Bermuda. So I'll just go with him in this range.
I can't get there with you on Griot. That's the only one that I just think.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's just the stats guy.
Yeah.
He just pops up. So
I'm just
gonna trust it.
He's just so bad about it.
You know, actually, it's not as bad as what it used to be.
Yeah. Okay.
No, he's losing 0.2 over his last 50, which is not like.
Oh, that's not. No, that's not. No.
That's fine. Not disastrous. That's better. Not,
my brain was saying he loses fucking 4.5.
No, let's put it this way. Siwoo is a worse putter over his last 50 than Griot.
Let's not attack me. Okay. Let's not do that.
All right. So. All right. Well, I moved on to under $7,000. So
all right, before we do that, let's.
My apologies.
Let's go ahead and talk about Better Fantasy, because the fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming in on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free to play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because you can cash awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way. It's totally free to play. You'll earn your better credits by completing challenges and using them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. So download the app today over at betterfantasy.com. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. Is my voice just still super scratchy?
A little bit, but I think just because you smoked a cig before you got on.
That is absolutely not wise, because I was screaming my head off at the fucking Bruins game. And like whenever I scream now for like a long period of time, my voice goes away.
Well, you're getting old, man.
Yeah, I'm aware. Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome. Right. Let's go under $7,000. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of junk down here, including John Ha, who you incredulously put on your season-long fantasy team for a golf pool that we did. So,
yeah, whatever. He's playing.
He is playing.
He's playing.
He might accrue $32,000 for you this week.
Let's go.
All right. So I think he's overrated, but I mean, he does really well on Bermuda golf courses, and he putts pretty well on Bermuda too. So just Harry Higgs. I mean, maybe I can eke out a top 25 finish out of him. I don't think that's a lot to ask out of him. So I'll go with him. Scott Piercy caught my eye though. So he played a little better in the fall. He had two top 20s and he's a horrific putter, but it seems like the last few times you put on Bermuda, he's actually gaining strokes. Like, I think he gained strokes at the Wyndham, he gained strokes at the Palmetto. Like, he doesn't play a whole lot of Bermuda the last, like, you know, year or so, but like when you put him on him, he's been okay. He has a good course history here, so I think I'll go with him. And then a couple guys just I like that, you know, I talk a little bit at I talk a lot about Hayden Buckley on our season preview show. I think he's gonna pick up a win. Relatively soon, but I think he's going to pick up a win this year. I mean, he played really well in the fall, good ball striker, makes a lot of birdies. That's a big plus for me. So I like him. And then Max McGreevy has been playing pretty well, this fall. He had a couple top 20s again, another decent ball striker, pretty accurate off the tee too. You know, kind of plays well. So yeah, I mean, those are like, I got three or four guys that I'm banking on that are, under 7,000.
Okay. I like it. I'm with you on Higgs, but whatever. Same thing. Like, take that shit with a grain of salt when it comes from me. I watched one stupid video on him drinking vodka, and I thought, oh, there he is. I'm a Higgs guy now. So I also like Sabatini. It's been a minute since we've seen him, but he's got a good course history here.
Well, do you remember what happened the last time we saw him, right?
I mean, we saw him at...
Got DQ.
Oh, DQ for the sticker. Yeah, that's right. He was playing okay, too, coming off the bronze medal.
He was. I bet him a top 20 in that tournament. He got DQ'd after the first round. I wasn't too happy about that.
I fucking forgot about that. I know you're shocked by that.
But he does have a good course history here. So
yeah, good course history. Yeah, like, whatever. Just bronze medal. Was playing well at the RSM until he got DQ'd. And then I would go back to the course history thing. Malnati, man. Malnati's got a pretty good course history here. You can roll your eyes, whatever. Dude, this is junk.
I mean, talk about a dude with a stupid hat. That's Peter Malnati.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't say I don't, because I definitely hate people based on how they dress. So, but either way, Malnati, I'll take. Give me Kirshner's boy, Kadira. See, he can make a lot of shit fit, man. He can make a lot of shit fit. He played pretty well in that fall swing, man. Got a first round leader, I think. Whatever. And he's 6,100. He makes some stuff fit.
All right. So to pull back the curtain a little bit on my spreadsheet. So I have it in three sections. I have established guys who have status on the PGA Tour. I have its own section for the Korn Ferry guys. So when I update the stats, I don't have to like do a little extra work. And then I have guys who have absolutely no PGA Tour status. And that's where Satoshi Kodaira is.
Yep.
So, I mean, listen, he's on my sheet.
Whatever, man. That's I like it.
I get it. He had a pretty good run, I think, last April or so. He did well at the Quail. I think he did well at Harbortown, but I don't know. I'm not going to him.
It's fine. I'm just saying, look, he makes shit fit. And
okay. All right. I think we're done. Do you got anything? Yeah, I know. New format. We just breeze right through that. It's pretty good.
How about that?
All right. You got anything you're burning on?
I mean, honestly, not really.
What about the Patriots? Anything? No?
No.
You're in a good mood tonight. Have you, what's going on with you?
I don't know. Dude, I just did a nice outright last night. We had a good show. I don't have a job right now, so I slept in a little bit today. Cleaned the house. Good. Ran some errands. Dropped my suit up at the dry cleaners. Whatever.
Okay. All right.
Pretty good mood, man.
Well, I guess I'm the angry one of the two of us.
You're the angry one of the two for once. There you go.
I mean, all right. I guess I'm just going to roll with this. I don't really know where this is going, but, you know, just humor me. So, yep. I mean, I don't really know what else there is to say. You know, it's funny that Joe Judge went on this 11-minute rant last week about we haven't quit and we're, you know, still a team. And, like, I love our process. And yet, you're down 3-0 at your 4-yard line and you just give up. You decide that you'd rather just punt the ball back to the deep to your opponent instead of trying to go for a first down. Like, what does that say about you? Like, I mean, like, I understand that they had injuries. I understand that Dave Gettleman royally screwed up this lineup, but you're the head coach. These are professional athletes. You're supposed to coach them up. You're telling me you can't put these guys in a situation and, like, try to match their strengths to the, you know, to maximize their abilities. That's what good coaches do. And you just laid down. And then you're going to keep your job? We're going to run you back? Like, this is what's so concerning as a Giants fan right now. Like, we know he's bad. Yeah. You know, I think the players know he's bad, too. But the ownership is still justifying that he should keep him around because they are stuck in the past. And this is what I think why I take this so personally. I live in Western New York. I had a front row seat to the ineptitude of the Buffalo Bills for 20 years up here. And you know why it was? It's because Ralph Wilson was a terrible owner. Yeah. You know, he tried to go outside the organization back in 2004. He hired Tom Donahoe from the Steelers. That didn't work. And what did he do? He's like, oh, I can never hire anybody I can't trust again. It has to be in-house. We're going to bring back everybody from the Bills, you know, like, you know, legacy. We're going to bring it back there. So they hired, like, Marv Levy as a GM, hired old scouts, promoted guys that shouldn't have been promoted, kept guys around because, you know, Ralph Wilson trusted him, but even though they didn't really know anything about football. The same thing is happening right now with the Giants. It just, nothing is really going to change. It's not a whole lot of hope. I mean, I hope, I'm still praying that these reports are true, that they really will bring in an outside GM who's probably going to can Joe Judge. And now I understand why Joe Judge is so adamant to hire Kevin Abrams. You know, that's his plan because he knows Abrams is going to get rid of him. So it's job security.
Yeah.
So I don't know. No, listen, you know, he's trying to survive. I mean, he's been telling these guys everything they've wanted to hear for 2 years, you know, because I think he knows he's over his head and he's just trying to buy time. So, like, look, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to go full Kramer. I'm not declaring a free agent. I might adopt my philosophy with golf where, listen, I'm just my favorite team every week is just who I bet on. It's kind of how I adopted for golf. I don't really have favorite golfers. And maybe that's just how I go about football if this continues. So,
dude, that's so depressing.
It is depressing, but it's been depressing for the last 10 years.
You can't give up your laundry.
I'm not.
It better be a shtick from Kramer.
I'm not giving the laundry up. I'm just putting it in the closet.
All right.
That's all I'm doing for a little bit.
I mean, look, I know nobody wants to hear a Boston sports fan complain, okay? But when I was a fucking kid, do you remember how bad the Patriots and Red Sox were?
I remember that.
So bad. So bad. So bad that a grown man made fun of me down here in Florida for wearing a Patriots jacket one. My father was like, oh, dude, he's fucking 10. Like, what are you doing? Like, you got to stick through the shitty times. Plus, you guys won 2 Super Bowls in this century.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's different when you're a kid, though.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Yeah, I mean, now we're adults. We can make our own decisions. We've been through all this shit. And, like, we can realize that we don't have to put up with this stuff anymore. We have choices.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of how I am with the Celtics.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I'm still going to root for these guys. I'm still going to hope they get better. I'm not going to become like a Bills fan or anything, but it's so crystal clear to me what they should be doing. And they're just doing everything wrong. I don't get it. I don't understand how you're a multi-billion dollar person and you just make so many terrible decisions. I don't get it.
Yeah, man. It's So which Mara is running it now? Is it one of the idiot sons who didn't do anything?
No, it's John. John, and then,
is he still running it though?
No, he is. He owns more than 50%. Well, no, he doesn't, but his family, the Mara family, does.
That's what I'm saying. So now is it the Silver Spoon moron sons, like the Steinbrenner kids, and like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's still John, and then his brother Chris. He's head of scouting, and then his nephew also has like a high level exec position too. Oh, it's screwed.
Okay.
It's not great. I was on Giants Reddit today, and
why do you do that to yourself, by the way?
You know, it's an outlet.
You won't get on Twitter, but you'll get on Giants Reddit.
It's an outlet. And the hope now is like Steve Tisch, who owns like, I don't know, like 30% of the team, is going to come in and like, you know, slap Mara around. And I don't like, that's where the fan base is right now. Like hoping, you know, a movie
minority
producer,
owner. A minority.
Yeah. Hoping a minor owner who's a movie producer is going to like talk some sense into John Mara. Like it's not going to happen. It's not realistic.
First of all, this dude must be one hell of a fucking movie producer if he owns 30% of a fucking NFL team.
Yeah, he was the executive producer of Forrest Gump.
Oh, that's literally all he needed.
Yeah. I think he's got Snatch. Like he's got a couple other like big movies. Well, Snatch is a
big movie. Fuck yeah.
Like to us, but like it's not like a blockbuster.
Like Dags?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Caravan. So anyways, yeah, he's got his Forrest Gump.
Have you seen that? I guess it's probably not even new, Guy Ritchie, but I was bored and couldn't find anything to watch the other night. It was The Gentleman. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I haven't. I watched a couple of other, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking
Barrels. That movie's fucking great. I like Lock, Stock. Yeah. That movie's great.
Yeah, but, I haven't seen it in a while, but yeah, I've seen all those movies.
So The Gentleman's a newer one. It's got McConaughey in it. The guy from Sons of Anarchy. It's good. You should watch it. It's a good watch.
All right, maybe I'll put that on the list.
If you like Guy Ritchie, movies,
I do. I don't mind them. So, all right, this has gone off the rails. Anyways, I don't have a whole lot of hope with the Giants. I'm just hanging on, I guess. So, why don't we take another break and then we'll get you outright winners. Try to hit another one.
Let's go. All right. So, listen. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social, like Giants Reddit. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. So, head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web app, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. This app includes the consensus lines for Vegas, a feed to see what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links among other methods. No money is transacted on the app and is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off of Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want as long as somebody is on the other side willing to take it. So let's get back to the roots of sports betting with SoBet. So go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And do not forget to go download the SGPN app, which is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. This app gives you easy access to all of our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss us a review on the app, wherever you're listening, man. Apple, what's the thing that I don't have that everyone else has? Spotify. Send some reviews over there. And don't forget, Sean and Ryan are starting to do a college football playoff where they're calling the play-by-plays on the simulation so college football fans can get what they really want, which is a 16-team playoff at least. So don't forget to go check them boys out doing that.
Yeah, the videos all dropped on YouTube today. They're pretty good, so definitely worth go watch them.
Nice.
So, all right, outrights, a day early.
Day early, baby.
All right, why don't you kick it off? Who's on your card right now?
All right, so I only got three down so far. Like I said, I want to see what you had to say tonight. I was able to get him before Bryson withdrew. So I got Connors at 25. No, I got Connors at 28. I got Connors at 28. I got Sanjay at 20. And I got Kisner at 33, and his number hasn't moved. So those are my only three right now. And like I said, I was texting you earlier. I was thinking about Sheamus. Kokrak kind of sticks out at me like, feel like that number's wrong in this field.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let me ask you a question about Connors.
Yep.
How many times do you think he's gotten to minus 20 or better in a tournament in his career?
I mean, based on the snarky way you're asking me, I will say two.
It's one.
That was close. Dick.
Well, it was the one he won.
Okay.
He won the Valero at exactly 20 under. Okay. I guess that's my concern about Connors.
Okay. It's a valid concern.
If I think this thing is going to be like mid-20s,
yeah,
he has a pretty defined cap.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I think his best year is minus 17. I don't think that's going to cut it this week at the Sony. Like, I think they would need like a day of wind in order to keep like the scoring under 20. So,
okay.
I don't know. Like, I like Connors. I think I'm settling more for like matchups in the top 10 for him.
Okay.
So, but I get it. I think the number is good on him.
Yeah.
All right. I kind of just decided yesterday I'm just going to bet Answer.
Okay.
Just whatever the number was. I found him at 32-1. I just bet it.
Okay.
So I'm going to ignore last week. I'm going to focus on, I think this is a good golf course for him. I think he can bounce back. I've seen him have very good performances on Bermuda before, with like the Heritage when it was all Bermuda and Southwind, which is his only win on the PGA Tour. So I'll go with that. I'm going to trust your gut on Kisner. I didn't want to do it. I got a 36-1 on him.
Nice.
So I'm just going to trust it. Like I should have trusted you on him at the Wyndham, which I end up getting 30 on him anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yep.
But I'm just going to trust you on that. Russell Henley probably should have a win at some point within the last 2 years. He's been really close.
Because he spits the bit on Sundays.
I know, but I mean, this. I'm not betting 25-1 Russell Henley. I'm betting 40-1 Russell Henley.
Oh, you got
40-1 Russell Henley.
All right, so I got 35 still.
Okay. So, listen, like, he dominates these types of golf courses. He has won here before. We haven't seen him. Like, he would buck the trend of guys who played last week, you know, end up winning. But I think he's a good player. I think he's a good fit here. You know, he putts pretty well in Bermuda historically. He hasn't put very good last, you know, year. That's kind of why he spits a bit on Sunday. You know, new year. Maybe he worked on some things. So,
okay.
Again, I'm going to blindly bet Billy Horschel again, 45-1. I can draw him and lines to a couple of other places I liked. And he finished T7 here last year. Again, this
played
is
last week. Yep,
he played last week. This is the type of golf course he tends to do pretty well at. You know, I think he can, you know, light it up on the Bermuda greens. And, like, I can see him actually getting to 25 under. Like, I think Corey Conners is a better player than Billy Horschel. But I think with just how this golf course is, the gap between Horschel's ball striking and Conners' ball striking shrinks, and Horschel's just a better putter. So yeah. I can do that. And then I got Keith Mitchell 90-1.
Nice.
You know, so what I mentioned earlier was, like, he's finally net positive with the putting, but it's like big week, bad week.
No.
And if he could just mention really good ball striking here, which he has done before with a big explosive putter, you know, he can have a big ceiling. And I've seen him go really low at the CJ Cup, which I think he got past 20 under. Right?
He was third there,
and I think he was like 22 under there. So I know he can go low. He played pretty well at Quail too. Like there's been a couple times in the last year that Keith Mitchell was really in the mix, and he's 90-1 and he plays really well at the Sony. So I thought that was a good price on him, and I just took a stab. So that's it. That's my card. And I'm probably just gonna, you know, maybe use one or two more for live bets. But I feel pretty good about it. I think it's a good mix of the trend of, you know, guys who played last week who end up winning a Sony. I think it's a collection of guys that either have done really well at the Sony or just are good course fits for it. I like it.
All right. So I'm going to tell you an answer.
Okay.
Because I liked him last week. I'm going to get a worse number, pretty fucking usual. But all right. So that means I want to add one more between Kokrak and Seamus.
Okay.
I don't know which way I'm going to go. Maybe I'll put a little sprinkle on Keith, because I can only find Keith right now. I haven't looked at my local, but his number's always below.
So I think of the two, and I kind of, it's kind of a stupid way to think about this, but
sure.
Like Kokrak won what, 4 or 5 starts ago.
Yeah.
Just like intuitively, is Kokrak going to get another win within like 5 starts? And that would be his fourth win.
Isn't that almost what you said? Can you imagine Kokrak winning 3 times in a single year?
And then he basically didn't. Yeah. So, I mean, like, now this would be four in, like, 14 months. And Kokrak, like, he does better on harder golf courses. So this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like Seamus Power better of the two.
I know he opened at 50. He's dropped all the way down to fucking 40. I don't know. I'm gonna have to sleep on this one.
All right. Well, we got another betting show tomorrow we can talk about if you need some more therapy.
That's right. All right. You got anything else, brother?
No, that's it. So tomorrow we're going to go over the rest of the betting card, you know, props, matchups, you know, maybe some nationality stuff, first round leaders. We'll do a little different format than what we're, you know, you're used to. But yeah, I it's going to be a good show. If we add any other outrights, we'll let you know.
Anything changes in DFS.
Exactly. But that's why we're putting all this stuff on Monday to get ahead of it. And then we'll update you tomorrow.
All right, that's it. Well, listen, you know where to find Steve. Go read his article at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can find him in our Slack channel. Just hit me up on Twitter if you can't figure out the link. That's Boston_Capper. Follow me on Twitter. Trying to get like a little more engaged. I'm actually doing it this year. So, yay. Other than that, man, that's it. We'll talk to you people tomorrow for some more bets. And we're going to bring some more fucking money in. Let's go.